Hey, this is Phil Kniezel, lead pastor at Hope City Church. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. My prayer is that this helps and encourages you, gives you some practical ways to live out your faith, and ultimately fills you with hope. Enjoy the message.
When Catherine and I, when we were married, I think it was about a little over a year, I got this phone call saying that we actually had won a trip. It was this 4 days in Florida and a 3-day cruise, and like, you can imagine, we were just fairly newly married. We were in an apartment in Red Deer at this time. We'd have tons of money. So I'm like, this is exciting. This is great. We won a trip. Who wins trips? And they're like, yeah, you put in a bout with your information and we picked it out and I felt so special. But it's one of those trips where they ask you for your credit card at the end of the phone call. And I realized, like, okay, I'm paying for the flights, the docking fees, the food, the rental, and with 90 minutes of my time in a timeshare spiel, I thought, no one told me about the fine print of this thing, right? And we ended up going on it, but it cost us a good amount of money. We didn't win this trip. And I realized that this is how they get you. But no one told me, as I was kind of, you know, years ago coming to my adulthood, that you've got to pay attention to fine print. You don't know what costs you're actually incurring unless you do. Like in 2017, 22,000 people had signed up for like free Wi-Fi service, only to realize that they agreed to 1,000 hours of community service, including unclogging the city's sewer system, which is just gross. And a few years earlier in London, a few people also agreed to free Wi-Fi service at the expense of giving their firstborn for all of eternity. Now, my 13-year-old actually turns 13 today, and I've thought about giving him away for a season, but for an eternity is a long period of time. And the reason why they did this is because they know people don't look at fine print. And you know, from car commercials to those drug advertisements where they speed up the fine print by 5 times on a commercial, you know, only, what am I actually getting, right? What's going on here? We've been in this series called True North, and the idea is looking at the words of Jesus that point us towards what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. And they're clear, they're concise, they're like True North, they point us in the right direction. And there's no, you know, there's no faking it, there's no fine print in it. Jesus is precise, he's clear, and he's concise. Think of last week, Pastor Phil, he spoke about entering through the narrow gate that leads to life, or the wide gate that leads to destruction. Oftentimes, Jesus even says things that tends to scatter crowds, like the passage that we're dealing with this morning. And this is what it says. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Now, immediately before this, Jesus, for the first time, actually predicted his own death. And before that, they had just been part of this miraculous feeding of these thousands of people with just a bit of fish and a few loaves of bread. You can imagine that quite a large crowd was gathering at this point, because if you were to see that, you'd say, who is this man? I want to follow this guy. But in a number of places throughout Scripture, when crowds are kind of gathering around Jesus, he tends to say things that scatter those crowds. He reminds them what following Jesus looks like. And if you look at the life of Jesus, you recognize that he had no home. He had very little comforts. Jesus was often unaccepted. And so he's helping people count the cost of followership. This was the cost. And on the surface, these three things, deny yourself, pick up your cross daily and follow me, they can sound somewhat harsh. And it would make anyone ask, maybe it's make you ask, maybe it's making you ask this morning, would I actually follow him? If this was the cost, if this was what he's asking me, would I follow him? Do I want to be his disciple? I mean, if he's calling us to reorientate our entire life around his life, I think Jesus is trying to be pretty, like I said, clear, concise. There's no fine print here, but would you follow him? Under the surface, though, as we look at it, I hope you're going to see that I actually think that under what seems to be a harsh thing is actually an invitation to this better way, this better life. Like I said, we need to kind of get under it a little bit to see that Jesus actually isn't hiding anything. For those following him, they would have known what he was asking, but for us, what does this mean? And I think that what's here is really good. So what I want to do is I want to read the passage. It's found in Luke chapter 9. It starts in verse 23, and it'll go down to 26. And I'm going to read that passage, and then we're going to focus in on verse 23 this morning. So let me read the whole chunk to you here first. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, pick up their cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses a life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes into his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. And again, our focus is verse 23. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, pick up their cross daily, and follow me. Must deny themselves. That's how it starts. And I mean, maybe for you right at the beginning, you're thinking, okay, now's the time where I hand in my fun card for a duty card. Like following Jesus is a pleasureless endeavor rather than this wonder life-giving adventure. But is it Jesus' base life really like that though? Is it wonderless? Is it fun-sucking? I read once in the Bible about this guy named John the Baptist. You know, like he eats honey and bugs and wears camel hair. Is that what Christian life is like? And I think that's often the narrative that we hear from people. That they believe that, you know, his life is wonderless. And it seems like this is pushing that narrative. He's saying, deny yourself. But when I think about what God created, when I think of all he's created, it doesn't seem to square with who he actually is. I mean, he is the one who designed and created over 170 billion galaxies in the observable universe. He's the one who created the soil and the earth that produces an innumerable variety of flowers and fauna and incredible creativity. He is the one who made minds who are capable of incredible feats of engineering, medical breakthroughs, art that can confuse us and also move us, bodies able to build life in it. He created an ocean teeming with beauty and beast, power and grace. I mean, he made a narwhal. Do you know what a narwhal is? It is a sea unicorn. I mean, how incredible is that? And here I am thinking to myself, if denying oneself, picking up your cross daily and following Jesus, if it looks like a bleak, lifeless, and joyless affair, I think it's safe to say that there's a bit of a misunderstanding of what it means to follow him. Look, I mean, I know there's no way around it. He does say, let them deny themselves. And that means to adopt in life a way that is not self-centered, but it's focused on the mission of Christ and his life. It's a totally reorientation of who commands us. It's asking ourselves, where and whom do I take my cues of life from? What a question. Where and from whom do you take your cues from? Following Jesus, I know it's not always a sacrifice, but where our life conflicts with his mission, Jesus is saying, you must deny yourself. But what kind of life is that though? What does a denying kind of life lead to? And if you look at Jesus' life and how he denied comforts, how he denied maybe acceptance and denied understanding, what life did we get? Well, you can read it. It was a life of healing, of resurrection. It was a life of justice. It was a life of leading people to repentance and a lot of fish and a lot of bread. And I think we do this and we get it because we do it in a lot of other areas of our life. Think about it. If you want to lead a healthy lifestyle, what do you need to do? Well, you need to deny yourself certain foods, activities, and sometimes relationships. If you want to do really well on a test, it means denying yourself the freedom to go out every night and not focus on studying. Well, here, he's saying if you want to live a life on mission with Jesus, at some point, your goals, ambitions, comforts, and even preferences will come into conflict with Jesus. And Jesus calls us at that point to deny ourselves. Why? Because a life with Jesus is the better way. Now, it could be as simple as moving from motive to actually watching a little less TV and waking up a little earlier in the morning and meeting God in scripture or in prayer. Maybe for some of us, it means denying our comfort zone and engaging in a small group because you've been craving community. Maybe it's denying your preferences and your security to be obedient to maybe a call that God has on your life or asking you to do something. But why? Why? Because it leads to a better life. Where God's mission comes into conflict with ours, a Christ follower is called to deny ourselves and put our trust in his way, the better way. But let's keep moving. It starts with, you must deny yourself, then moves on, and pick up your cross daily. And we come to this passage, even in 2021, we know that Jesus' life, it culminated in him dying on a cross and resurrecting. So I think often when we read this passage, we're thinking, oh man, he's calling me, this pick up your cross, he's calling me to literally die. But death wasn't the primary command in here. It was just the potential outcome of a life that chooses to pick up their cross and follow him. Now, let me explain this way. Have you thought about all the chances and risks that you and I take every single day? I'm going to ruin a bit of your mental well-being this morning. Okay? So there are over 60,000 toilet-related injuries every year. But I'm sure most of us would choose to, I hope, wouldn't go without using one every day. There are over 42,000 injuries and 600 fires and several deaths annually related to your television. How many are in your home? Maybe some of you are actually watching this on your television at home. How many of us drive? Well, that is the most dangerous human activity that we do. Yet most of us, a lot of us do it every day. And have you thought about what sleeping actually is? It is the hope that you're going to wake up tomorrow morning. You're not going to sleep well tonight. Now, doing anything does not mean that you're going to die, but every day we choose to engage the risk that something dangerous could actually happen. And that's what I mean here. Picking up the cross daily to follow Jesus doesn't always lead to death, but that kind of living can potentially lead to it. Now, especially if you're a first century Christian listening to Jesus say these things. But it was the cross-picking up kind of life that Jesus is actually inviting us to. Now, at this point, the cross was used by the Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans as a way of torture and death, either by impalement or crucifixion. But also, the criminals were asked to actually pick up their cross and walk it to their own death. And could you imagine the embarrassment and the shame? People know that you're a criminal, one of the worst of criminals, and you've got to walk your symbol of shame to your own death. And then listen to Jesus' words. You must pick up your cross daily. See, whereas the criminal had the cross imposed on them, Jesus says, I'm asking you to impose your cross on yourself. He's not calling us to death per se. But listen to this. But to a daily decision to carry the burden of living a Jesus-centered, gospel-speaking life in a culture that is bent on doing the exact opposite. Despite shame, despite misunderstanding, despite persecution, despite scorn, even if it could lead to your death. It's why Jesus, in the same breath, in verse 26, he says this, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes into my glory, into the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Now, the reality is that not many of us here are dying because of our choice to live a Jesus-centered, gospel-speaking life. But we need to remember there are people and Christians all over the world, even today, who are facing physical consequences, including death, for their decision to follow Jesus and to lead a gospel-speaking life. I had this opportunity well over a decade ago to go to India, to this small village, well, the small village of 150,000 people, and speak to a classroom of Christians and teach the Bible a little bit. And what's interesting is that out of the 24 or 26 students, all of them have already or will face persecution. Over half of them will face extreme persecution, and half of those will die within the first 2 years of their ministry. There are people like that living around our world. Now, not many of us, like I said, are facing that. We don't live in those countries, and this is not asking you to go live in these countries. But for some of us, it does mean a certain kind of death. Maybe it's a death of our reputation. Relationships, because some people just don't understand why you're focused on leading a Jesus-centered, gospel-speaking life. Maybe it's Business looks different. Your end goal looks different. The way you treat people. Maybe it's your past. Maybe you're going, man, I've got this life that I knew, and I want to walk this new life, but man, this is my normal. And Jesus is saying, pick up your cross daily and follow me. And it's a death of your old life. Some of you, it's comfort. Maybe it's cultural peace. And it's not about living a life that's looking for persecution. He's just saying, if you're going to live the cross-picking up kind of life, it will eventually lead to some discomfort and even death. To pick your cross daily is to live a Jesus-centered, gospel-speaking life, whatever the cost. Now, we know the cross is a symbol of new life. Well, carrying it is about bringing people into new life, knowing that it will come at the expense of our own. Like, if I ask you the question, if you had to give up your reputation knowing that someone will walk into a new life with Jesus today, would you do it? And I'm sure all of you are like, yes, of course I would do it. And that is the life that Jesus is inviting us into. Listen, when we lay down our life for another, new life can spring up. That's exciting. That's what he's inviting us into. And then lastly, we hear, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Take a moment and think about that and follow me. What does that entail? What does that mean? When I was 20, I met this particular professor. And over the years, he opened up his life to me. First as a student, and then as I got to know him over the years, and I've known him for about 17 years now. So even after graduation, I got married in my early years of marriage, and then through the death of my dad and life and work, frustrations. Over the last 17 years, he's opened up his life, his home, even his family as support and help. I mean, this guy helped me become and is continuously helping me become. I haven't mentioned my parents, my wife, my kids, or coworkers, or even those relationships that weren't so kind, that weren't so understanding. The reality is this, is that our lives are shaped by the relationships that we have, especially of those relationships of people that we choose to watch, to emulate, to follow. Because you never just observe someone's life you follow, you take part in it. And as you take part in that life, you're transformed by it. And so his command to follow him is a final piece of this invitation to take part in his entire life. And what does that look like? Like, what did the disciples take part in? The good thing is that we can literally read it. And even if we just go at just the beginning of Luke till chapter 9, you'd see what the disciples saw. They watched Jesus command nature to silence the winds and the waves. They saw a woman who was healed and restored into community after 12 years of dealing with an issue of blood. They saw the religious and political leaders who were using their power and their position and their privilege challenged and called to repentance. They literally just got back before this, spreading the gospel in different towns and healing people. And guys, we're only in Luke 9 by this point. Paul, he's an author of the New Testament book Galatians. He says that a life lived following Jesus will look like one of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And he says, against such things, there is no law. See, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So yeah, I get it. It does mean that if our way comes into conflict with the Jesus way, then we are called to deny ourselves and pick up our cross and follow him. Why? Because his way is better. And here's the fruit. The fruit is that new life will spring up as we lay down pieces of our life for his mission. Luke 9:24, Jesus says, whoever wants to save or hold on to their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. The great part is that if we choose to do this, Jesus doesn't just invite us into his life. He actually says, I will actually empower you to live this life. in Acts chapter 1, verse 26, as Jesus, he just resurrected and he's just about to ascend, he leaves this with them. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So he's not just calling you to follow him. He says, listen, I'll empower you to do it. When you and when I deny ourselves and pick up our cross daily, you take part in the life of Christ, in his mission, in the here and now. But then how do we start? I mean, if I were to go home and want to try doing this, or how do I know if I'm doing this correctly? What does this look like? How do I start? There's a word in this command that we can't miss, and the word is daily. It reminds me of this passage in Philippians, speaking to a church, trying to figure out what it means to be a Christ follower. Paul writes this: therefore, my dear friends, if you've always obeyed not only my presence, but now much more my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. To deny yourself, to pick up your cross daily and follow him, is to wrestle with that and what that means for you every single day. It's to work out with fear and trembling, which means with respect and with humility, what that looks like for you. Now, if each one of us denying yourself and picking up your cross, that will look different for everybody in this room. But there are a few things that I know it always entails. And so maybe you can start here. Maybe it's one of these things, maybe it's all of these things, but there's three things that I know it always entails. To deny myself and pick up my cross daily and follow him always calls me first and always to humility. It's a posture of knowing that we need to be empowered by the Spirit to do what he asks us to do. It's about listening prayer. It's scripture. It's Christian community. All these are gifts given to us to know, experience, have a relationship with Jesus, and be empowered to do what he asks us to do. We can't live a Jesus-centered, gospel-speaking life aside from those things. We just can't. They're gifts for us to use. And they may seem elementary, but it's just like, you know, going into a marriage vow and then after that, like only sporadically talking to one another. You're less likely to sacrifice and to follow someone who you don't know. So these are ways for us to know Jesus. To follow means to come behind him. And reading scripture, prayer, and Christian community has for centuries been the way the church has chosen to do this. And I've seen people be empowered to live this life because of those things. It will always mean to deny myself, pick up my cross daily and follow him, also will always mean discipleship. In my devotional time, I came across these words by John the Baptist, the honey-dipping, bug-eating, camel-hair-wearing guy. And as he was following, you know, some of his followers had decided to leave him and follow Jesus. And they're asking him, John, how do you feel about that? And he says something profound. He says, he must increase, but I must decrease. That is the foundation of growing as a daily follower of Jesus. That's discipleship. It's living a Jesus-centered, gospel-speaking life. It's a lifelong daily practice of allowing Jesus to increase in every sphere of my life. It's asking, where is he calling me to decrease so that he can increase? Man, what an opportunity. And then lastly, to deny myself, to pick up my cross daily and follow him, will always call me to service. It's about asking, who can I serve today out of an outflow of what God has done for me? To the unsaved in my life, to the community of the saved in my life, and also to family, coworkers, and friends. Who can I serve today out of an outflow and overflow of what God has done in me? To pick up our cross, or to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross daily and follow him, calls us to humility, to discipleship, and to service. Then he said to them, Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. Take up their cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes into his glory and the glory of the Father and of his holy angels. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow him. For a Christ follower, that is our work every single day. And I hope that you see the invitation to the better life that he's calling us to when we respond to that. Let's pray this morning. Jesus, this is the life that you call us to. But I'm so glad because you say, follow me, which means that you go before us. You first denied yourself. You first pick up your cross and you died. You did that first. But then you say, I will empower you to do the same. So God, I pray for each one of us as we attempt to do this. Maybe it's for the first time, or maybe it's just retrying over and over again. I pray that we would know we can't do it without being empowered. So help us to do it with humility. Help us to do it as disciples and followers of you, and to do it as we serve others around us. Jesus, thank you that you don't call us to something that we can't see. We read in Scripture that this leads to a better way. And Jesus, empower us and give us the grace to follow you every day. Amen.